Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, 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 everybody. I'm excited to have you today for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love devolve into BS, which is bait and switch or other iterations of BS. Whatever the case may be, if it's not love, it evaporates into some kind of machination, some sort of magic spells we try to cast on people through our trying to impress them. Love alone. Love alone is the credible human value by which we are being called to rise and shine. So that's why I'm here every weekend on this radio broadcast as a No BS Bishop. It's a delight and pleasure for me, starting off the new year this year with this first episode of the new year. And it's a delight, really is. It's a treasure to me. This project is something I'm very proud of, the No BS Bishop. We're also morphing into a podcast by the same title, which will carry on a little more in-depth conversation. But for the purposes of here, I am here to present to you Love's Creed to start with, and then we'll follow that with the Lord's Prayer. Now, why, you ask, would I have a creed or have you repeat the Lord's Prayer? That's a great question. I see that hand out there in the audience. I believe Love's Creed as something I wrote to keep me on track as a New Year's resolution a long time ago. Love's Creed is something that, if you were to put it somewhere in your line of sight, on a mirror and in your phone or on your computer or some other device, I think it's something that would remind you to behave more than just on an average, mediocre basis, but to behave well. And to behave well is to love well. So anyway, I'll give you Love's Creed, and I'll read it in total. Then I'll ask you to come back and repeat after me, like you do in church or whenever you've been at a marriage altar, you know, the bride and groom repeat after the officiant. So I'm going to ask you to repeat after me in just a moment. But here is Love's Creed. Soak it in a moment. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. All right, now let me go back over it and ask you to repeat after me. Say it out loud. You know, maybe you're not alone, but have somebody with you say it with you. Look at somebody and say it to each other. If you're alone, just say it right out loud, because your own mind listens to what you're saying, whether it's internally or externally. Give this an opportunity to soak into your thinking. Here we go. Repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Now, if you'd like a copy of that, it'd be my pleasure to send one to you. If you email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com, I'd be delighted to send that to you. And I won't BS you. I won't bait and switch you by taking your email request for this and using it as a fundraiser. That won't happen. I promise you that won't happen. Again, it's Randy Dean Ministries, that's all one word, all lowercase, at Gmail. Send me a request for it, and I'll be happy to send you a copy. Also, if you have any questions or you got a topic as it relates to love that you would like for me to discuss, hey, I'm all ears, I'm all eyes to take this subject of love to the depths and to the heights that I can possibly take it. All right. I also promised that we would say together the Lord's Prayer. So, what I want you to do is focus in this moment. I don't ordinarily take this kind of time with the Lord's Prayer, but I feel a need to for today. Too often, what we do in churches is we just kind of blast into things like this and assume everybody has a connection to what we're doing. I don't want to do that here. I want to make sure you have a connection to the Lord's Prayer that's a little beyond the average or the ordinary. First of all, I want you to remember this is Jesus teaching his disciples to pray like this. Now, whether you pray it word for word or you pray it as a structure or an outline for your own individual thoughts, that's fine. The other thing I want you to remember is that I want you to ask yourself, how many millions upon millions of people over the past 2,000 years have prayed this precious prayer? How many people in duress? How many soldiers in a war? How many hospitals, emergency rooms, people facing life and death, or simply a family together in their home, or some ordinary everyday somebody in a traffic jam praying the Lord's Prayer just to keep their blood pressure from rising? Whatever the case may be, imagine the millions of people who've prayed the Lord's Prayer over 2,000 years. And then ask yourself, am I ready to join their ranks? And I do mean that. Am I ready to agree with the millions of folks? And especially, am I ready to agree with what Jesus taught us to pray? It's amazing, isn't it? I'm also aware that when I lead you in the Lord's Prayer, that more and more, since 40 million people have left organized religion here in the United States since the turn of the century, I'm aware that a lot of people don't know the Lord's Prayer by heart. I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have heard it somewhere in the background or in foreground, whatever the case may be. But I'm aware that a lot of people just have not been through some church or religious training where you've been taught the Lord's Prayer. And I'm not here to demonize that or in any way throw a rock at that. I'm just simply recognizing a reality. So if you don't know the Lord's Prayer, I give you my grace and the space to learn it as time goes on, if you're so inclined. And if you would like to just let me pray on your behalf, I'm perfectly fine with that. On the other side is, if you do know it or have a little bit of a vague memory of it, go ahead, try. It's a good meditation. It really is. I consider it that. It's a meditation, a contemplation for life. All right? So, let us pray together in the manner in which Jesus taught us to pray when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That meditation, that prayer, could certainly be considered a daily dose of sanity. Really, I treat it as such for myself. A daily dose of sanity, a daily dose of centering your thoughts and your priorities. Give it a try. I think you'll be glad you did. Well, I said at the beginning here today, I want to discuss the whole notion of love is where home is, and home is where love is. Wherever you find love, you found home. Now, I'm aware that home is considered largely as our biological family. But I also realize that home is wherever we've found love, and that love may be with a tribe of folks that we've learned to treat as dear friends, people we've worked with, people we've partnered with for projects in life, civic projects, church projects, or just people that we've found ourselves rubbing shoulders with through the years. That's home. Wherever there's love, that's home. I have friends in my life that I consider anytime I'm with them or around them, I'm at home. I can take my shoes off and kick back and relax metaphorically or physically and not worry about how I look or what I say, and are they going to judge me? Are they going to be mean to me? I can relax in that kind of home setting. I'm terrifically grateful, and I don't. There's no hyperbole in this. There's no exaggeration in this. I am absolutely stone cold telling the truth here when I tell you I'm grateful for the 50 years of marriage to my wife, Ginger. We have created a life together that hasn't been perfect. And I don't know that anybody has that kind of perfect life. Those who pretend or act like they've had a perfect life together, I doubt their veracity. I doubt the integrity of what they're saying. I think every human being that's learned to love another human being has had to struggle through idiosyncrasies and ups and downs and highs and lows. And at any rate, I'm so grateful for the home that Ginger and I have. Now, do people come rushing to our home every day? Do people come knocking at our door, calling our phone, impeding on our privacy because of that? Not really. It happens on a rare occasion now and then. But my point is, when two people, all it takes is just two people saying, we're going to make a home and it's going to be rooted and grounded and based in love. Whenever we recognize that we've created love, we've created home. So Ginger, I know you're listening to this right now. Listen to me, lady. It's you and me, babe. I love you. She knows that this is a truth and a reality in our life, and a truth and a reality that I'm not just here BSing folks on a radio broadcast or a podcast or whatever other means I find to teach and preach. I believe in the veracity, the superpower of love. I believe in it, and I'm a witness to it in our 50 years of marriage. In the 1978 movie, The Wiz, the iconic actress Diana Ross and musician, singer, sings, when I think of home, I think of a place where there's love overflowing. That's what I think of when I think of home. Now, I recognize that that can be a variety of places. As I said earlier, that can be, hopefully it's a place where you work. If you are working in an atmosphere, in an environment, in a petri dish of love, you know what a petri dish is, right? It's where in a laboratory, scientists or researchers will insert something into a small little glass dish, and then they'll seal it to see what grows out of that that germ or whatever that cell is they put in the petri dish. Love could be seen as a petri dish of life where we insert the right combinations of cooperation, the right combinations of kindness and patience and mercy, the right combinations of learning how to get along and have adult conversations. When you do that, if you are a worker with others that you can love and you are being loved, you've found home. When you have a church, if you have a church, and I'm painfully aware of the fact that fewer and fewer churches in the United States really are known for this quality, but it's still worthy of our attention. Jesus said, by this will everyone know that you are my disciples if you have love. So when he teaches on the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes, he expects the result will be love. that the result of those discipling classroom teachings would be love. And he said the whole world would know you belong to his classroom if you have love. It just seems to me like, you know, every church in the world and in history would stop everything and just do love and find ways to be loving. Maybe they should give me a shout and I can teach a seminar for the next 2 weeks on love, how to insert and practice the heavy lifting, the marathon, the race of love, and make it real. Make it blood, sweat, and tears real. So to that end, you could find love in a church. I've been privileged to find that on a couple of occasions. I really feel that I've found love in places where I've been warned, don't go there, they're kooky. When I got there, I realized their kookiness was they loved. And so I decided somewhere in my 50 plus years of pastoring, I'm going to chase after love with everything I got. You can find home whenever love is present. You can find home when you have a circle of friends. Now, listen to me carefully. Sometimes we think we've got to have this giant circle, a stadium full of people who are our friends. And I'm not sure that's true. Maybe there's somebody out there that's got stadiums full of people that are their truest friends. Now, hear me when I say truest friends, not just a bunch of cheerleaders. But I mean, if you have true friends, then, and you found in that love, well, now there's home. So when Diana Ross sings this song for The Wiz, when I think of home, I think of a place where there's love overflowing. So I want you to ask yourself right now, what rises up even in your body, in your physical feelings, when you think of true home? Is home in your thinking synonymous with love? Is home a place where you long to go back? You know, they say you can't ever go back to home. Well, or you can't go back to your childhood, or however the phrase goes, but there's some notion that it's just a fantasy if you think of it that way. But I don't think it's a fantasy. I think it's a human longing. I think humans long for home to be safe. And because of love, the safety isn't just these are the rules and we don't break them. No. If it's led by rules, then the rules can be broken. And when the rules get broken, betrayal really rises up. So I just want to know, in your thinking right now, give some thought when you consider what rises up in your mind, what rises up even in your body, your physicality, when you contemplate home as home might be love. Then I would urge you to find a way, make strides toward creating home, whether it's for blood family or simply friends or neighbors or simply your spouse or whoever is as close as the at the sound of your voice. Create home right there. I've had the privilege and actually the honor of being in a variety of senior assisted living places over the past half a dozen years, whether it was delivering food. Currently, I'm working part-time at a hospital, and I'm able to deliver prescriptions to folks that are living in an assisted living facility. And what I see there is that the best assisted living facilities for seniors is where love is allowed to flourish in relationships, so that these dear folks who are in the final days of their life, however long that may be, are experiencing family/love, a family and family love, that love becomes a centerpiece of their existence. I have a theory. I can't prove it. I'm not a medical scientist. I'm not a medical researcher, but I have a theory. And that theory is this: if love is a part of a senior citizen's life, they're going to live, maybe not longer, but they're going to live with more quality. If love is the nutrition that they're being offered, whatever activities, or lack of activities, I just think people respect the atmosphere of love enough that they'll pay whatever price they have to pay to be there. I just recently witnessed a moment in a senior citizen place of residence, and I saw a dear lady in one little apartment see an old friend that she hadn't seen in I don't know how long. It was just, I just happened to be in the same vicinity with the two of them, and they just looked at each other with such love and such gratitude for each other. They embraced each other and patted each other on the back gently and laughed and giggled. And I had to keep going along, but I remember soaking in just that little incidental moment for me. And seeing that, I thought, who in my life, when I see them, am I going to run and say, oh, it's so good to see you. Oh, I just love being around you. Who are those people? And I would urge you to think of yourself as being one of those people. I want you to hear that. Now, I know we all long for and need somebody like that. But first, let's insert to this whole conversation, let's be that kind of person. When our face or our voice shows up, people light up because they have found a little slice of home. Whether they're related to you or not related to you, they've found a little bit of home, because love is where home is. Home is where love is. So to that end, may we each create the space, the atmosphere, the environment, the petri dish, the culture of love, wherever it is that we find ourselves, so that people, whether they know you just love them or not, they're going to instinctively have a sense that that was love, even if they can't define it as love itself. Did I just make sense? Whether or not people know you said, I love you, they will know you just lived, I love you. When I think of a place where there's love, I know that's home. When I think of home, that's a place of love. Now, before I finish this topic and bring us in for a close, I know that home, I mean physical family home for many people, far too many people, and I'm in some small way, I'm one, where home and family does not represent the purest beauty of love. And that in itself creates the opposite of everything I just discussed. When there's dysfunction or drug addiction or alcoholism, when there's some sort of abuse, whatever level it may be. It may be extreme physical abuse or simply psychological abuse and everything in between. When home and family, and I do mean like in physicality, family and home, is a place of terror, a place of hate, a place of fear, then the human condition really degrades, doesn't it? And I don't think I have to really define that a whole lot more than just to say that. And ask you to join me. Let's be married, bonded to love's creed. I'm alive to love, so that in everything that I do, I'm creating home for somebody somewhere, even if we're not blood related. All right. Well, I'm going to have to bring this to a close. And when we close the No BS Bishop, I'm alive to love, I offer you a couple of practices, and they're kind of practical, but they're also pretty demanding as well. And first of all, the practical. I want to invite you to breathe with me. Breathe well. Learning how to breathe can help lower your blood pressure, clear your mental fog, and just relax your body. So I ask you to join me, please. And if you can, put your feet flat on the floor. If you can, sit up nice and straight. Draw in a deep breath and pull it down to your diaphragm. And once again, physically, if you can, hold it to your diaphragm for just a second or two, and then exhale. Now, we're going to only do it once here, but if you could do it for 5 minutes every day, somewhere along the way, maybe a couple of times, like if you're in a stressful situation and you can exit that situation and go breathe, you're going to improve your quality of life. All right, on the count of three, take a good, healthy, deep breath. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. There you go. Not real complex, is it? Not very high medical science right there, but it truly can give you a little touch more of self-love. Now, the second thing I want to invite you to is less than practical. It's a little bit of a fantasy experiment of mine, and that is to invite you to look people square in the eye and find the courage with even people you know well, and maybe it's a complete stranger, find the courage to say the three most holy, magical, charmed words in the human language and say them with full authenticity. Say, I love you. I think, yeah, it's shocking and it's weird and people will feel awkward when you do it, but do it anyway. You'll give yourself an opportunity to be more authentic and real and connected to people in a way that maybe you've never experienced before. It is life-changing, I promise you. One of the goals in my life, which I can't guarantee will happen, but my aim is on the last breath of this life here and when I walk on to the next stage of life, when I say my last breath, I want to say, I love you. I hope it's family. I hope it's the most precious person in my life, and that's my wife, Ginger. Or I hope it's my friends. I hope it's somebody I know. But then again, if it's not, I hope I can blow a stranger's mind, a doctor, somebody, and a first responder. I can say, I love you. You like that? Make it your goal. Let's change the world one phrase at a time. All right, the biggest mistake we make is thinking we still have time. Yeah, be present, be kind, love more, love now. Mother Teresa once said, go into the world today and love the people you meet. There are no accidents, that's me. Love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Love is the only answer, folks. That's why I'm here teaching, training, preaching, and beating the drum of love. Do the heavy lifting of love. You'll change the world one interaction at a time. Thank you for joining me for this episode of the No BS Bishop Alive to Love. Now go out there and do something beautiful, folks, because, oh, baby, ugly? Ooh, ugly is getting done to death. It's time for the beauty of love to get out there and save the world. Happy trails, y'all, and God bless you.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.